Lecture topic, Lessons from the Profound Legacy of Hassan. May the Creator's blessings be on him. Part 2.
Was the aspect of generosity. He was such a profound person in his generosity that books have been compiled exclusively on the generosity of Hassan radiallahu anhu. Once a person came to him and he complained to him of his condition, so Hassan radiallahu anhu said, he called the person in charge of his funds. He said, how much money do we have? So he said, I have about 50,000 dirhams. So he took the 50,000 dirhams and he gave it to the person. وَاَعْتَذَرَ لَهُ. And then he said, you know what, my brother, I'm sorry, I can only give you 50,000. I wish I had more, I would have given you even more. The other day I read a narration, Aisha radiallahu anha, Muhammad ibn Munkadir came to him. Muhammad ibn Munkadir was a great tabi'i. So she came to our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, and he had some crisis in his life. So he needed some funds. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, honestly, I don't have a dime, I don't have a cent, but you're such a noble person. If I had 10,000 dirhams, I wouldn't have winked my eyes for the second time. I would have given it to you unconditionally. She said this. Muhammad ibn Munkadir excused himself, and minutes later, a person came and gave Aisha radiallahu anha a gift of 10,000 dirhams. Aisha radiallahu anha said, my Allah has put my words to test very quick. My Allah has put, if it's talk is cheap, I can say this. And as soon as that money comes that is unexpected, now my mind has a flash of so many promises, commitments, aspirations, ambitions, thoughts, promises, and what and what. She said, go call Muhammad ibn Munkadir, and she took the entire 10,000 and she gave it. In Tafsir al-Sawi, there is a narration that from the Baytul Mal, she received 80,000 dirhams. 80,000 dirhams. She told her slave girl, start distributing this year. She distributed it by iftar. There wasn't a cent left. And when they sat down to break fast, there wasn't a date also to break fast. So then she said, you know, I would have told you could have spared one dirham. At least we could have a date. Now, let us ask ourselves. Let us ask ourselves. You know, sometimes we make intentions. Once a brother told me, he says there was a collection drive happening in the masjid. In my mind, I pledged an amount. I pledged an amount. As the brother started giving, people gave a fifth of what I gave and a tenth of what I gave. So my mind and my ego started playing tricks with me. I had fixed an amount of perhaps, hypothetically, I'm going to be lying if I have the exact figure, 10,000 rand. So I see someone is giving 100 rand, someone is giving a 200, someone is giving a 50. So I said, well, even if I give 1,000, I'm still the boss. So you know what, I'm still running the show. In my mind, I started playing. I said, let me see what happens. So I gave 1,000. He came to me and says, I'm sharing this, convey it to the world. Anyway, I'm happy in the back of my mind. I saved 9,000 because I was informed that there will be a collection drive. And in my thoughts, I made this mental commitment with myself and Allah. And I said, I'm going to honor this year. But I see people are giving 100, 200, 1,000. So alhamdulillah, I think I still gave the greater amount. He said, I barely came out. My son was driving. We met up in an accident, smashed the windscreen, broke the door. It cost me 20,000. From that day onwards, I caught my ears. When I make a commitment with my Allah, I honor it. When I make, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ لَإِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ بَخِلُوا بِهِ وَتَوَلَّوا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ يَلْقَوْنَا. If you can comprehend the sternness, the manner in which Allah admonishes and Allah comes across, your hearts will burst. وَمِنْهُمْ, amongst my bondsmen, they are those, مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ, who casually make pledges with me. لَإِنْ آتَانَا, the day Allah opens my sustenance. لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ, I will give ample in his path. فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِ, I then give him by my sheer mercy. بَخِلُوا بِهِ, then he starts hoarding and mising his wealth for my deen. وَتَوَلَّوْ وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ, and he turns his back to my deen. فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ, Allah says, well, you haven't denied me, now I have denied accepting your wealth. So hypocrisy sets in. Hypocrisy infiltrates. How many of us have passed the mark of what hopes we had in life repeatedly? And you say, Allah, the day I pay off my house, Allah, the day this is done, Allah has taken us a bar, if not multiple bars above those levels. And we still haven't honored the basic spiritual commitments we've made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the Quran says that man is ungrateful. And وَلَوْ أَلْقَى مَعَذِيرًا عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. He is ungrateful, and you don't have to tell him, he'll confess himself he is that. Even if he throws arguments to justify it externally. Another incident of Hasan radiallahu anhu, and today I spoke about this very briefly, and this is a great lesson of life. One of the key ingredients to sustain any relation is mutual appreciation. Listen to me loud and clear, brothers. One of the key ingredients to sustain any relation is mutual gratitude, appreciation. Whether the nature of the relation is marital, husband and wife, employer, employee, or otherwise. It's about time we mature this statement. I'm doing him a favor. I'm carrying him. He's lucky I haven't retrenched him. My brother, you're doing nobody a favor. Allah is carrying all of us together. You are not carrying me and I'm not carrying you. Allah is carrying us all. You think you haven't retrenched him? When Allah wants to retrench on the macro level, then one global crisis sees the shutdown of chain stores across the globe. That's when Allah retrenches on a macro level. You're doing it on a micro level. I mean, just food for thought. Allah put this humble thought in my mind. There is nothing binding on Allah, yet He makes appreciation obligatory upon Himself. There is nothing binding on Allah. Nothing is binding. Nothing is compelling on Allah. But by His sheer mercy, He said, I have decided I will be grateful. مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ شَاكِرًا عَلِيمًا. Allah says, I am the most grateful being you've ever seen. So the hadith of Kanzul Ummal, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيُدْخِلْ بِاللُّقْمَةِ مِنَ الْخُبْزِ ثَلَاثَةً الْجَنَّةِ. Because of one slice of bread, Allah will put three people in paradise. That's how Allah will appreciate. That is how Allah will acknowledge. The husband who buys the loaf of bread, the wife who puts a topping on it, and the Muslim servant who gives it to the beggar. وَالْخَادِمْ أَلَّذِي يُنَاوِلُهُ الْمِسْكِينَ. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will forgive all three. When the dwellers of Jannah will enter Jannah, Allah make us amongst them. And they will see the superb hospitality of Allah and the plush palatial homes of paradise and the gardens and the bounties of paradise. They will be humbled by the hospitality of Allah. So they will say, Allah, you know what? While we enjoy what we enjoy, but we feel in awkward. Inna Rabbana laghafurun shakur. Allah is so grateful and He appreciates so much. My namaz was a lousy salah. My charity was blemished, was defected. And look at how Allah appreciates it. So they will say, oh Allah, we really, you know, by way of example, if a person comes to your house from overseas and you don't give him much attention, you send your worker with him, you send your driver with him, you send him to a restaurant and then you just see him off and give him hope, you had a good stay. Yeah, you must come, eh? You must come. You must come. You know, one brother told us in Canada, he say, person came to me, visited him, everything. I told him, Aujo, you must come again. He say, he came back for real. But he didn't know, I didn't mean it. Anyway, I came back, everything. I said, Aujo. He came back again. He said, listen, brother, this is just by the way I say this. I don't mean it. That's life today. That is life. And the Quran says, look at the Quran. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ رُجِعُوا فَرْجِعُوا هُوَ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ. Live a pure life. Allah says, go to someone's house, knock on the door. If the time is not right, and he tells you return, then return. This will purify your heart and his heart. Don't invade his privacy, respect it. There's a quotation mention of one sahabi. He said, I went knocking the doors of people hoping that someone will tell me return so I can practice on this ayah. But nobody returned me. Nobody ever returned me. So mutual appreciation is a key ingredient to sustain any relation. And how do we appreciate? Appreciate with something tangible. The hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if someone is kind to you, reward the person. Acknowledge. فَكَافِئُوهُ. Give the person something physical. فَإِن لَمْ تَجِدُوا مَا تُكَافِئُوهُ. If you cannot give the person something tangible or physical, then make dua in his favor. we resort to dua, which is brilliant, but we omit the first stage. The hadith says, give him something tangible, acknowledge, appreciate him. Leave alone the human aspiration. If you ever seen any other creature, you know, whether you've seen a dolphin show, I don't give away secrets, man, or a dog show, or anything else, if that creature performs anything, there is some reward. Either there's a pet, or it's applauded, or it's given something to eat, or it's given a hug. But even a creature, something not a human, even that, in its very instinct, yearns for acknowledgement. How about we break in the monotony? An employee goes to the employer and says, you know what, I really appreciate the employment you've given me. May Allah reward you. It means a lot to me. How about the employer telling the employee, you know what, since you've come, you've added value to the company. Your skills have enhanced us. We've really grown in leaps and bounds. Allah reward you. You've added value. You know what, I will give you something different. I will give you an added remuneration. Some degree of acknowledgement, mutual appreciation is a key ingredient to sustain any relation. In the presence of mutual appreciation, the most challenging of relations will also prosper. And the best of relations, in the absence of mutual appreciation, I'm afraid will dissolve at some point or the other. So anyway, Hassan radiallahu anhu was one day with his brother Hussein and his cousin Abdullah ibn Ja'far. They embark on the journey of Hajj. فَفَاتَتْهُمْ أَثْقَالُهُمْ بِبَعْضِ الطَّرِيقِ. Something happened and they lost their provisions. They were gripped in a crisis. فَرَأَوْ خِبَاءً. They see a tent. فَمَالُوا نَحْوَهُ. They advance towards it. They see an elderly aged sister there. So they said, هَلْ مِنْ شَرَابٍ. Can you offer us any drink? We are stranded. We are on our way for Hajj. She welcomes them by the common Arab Muslim hospitality. And she says, yes, I have a goat child. We'll milk it. And whatever comes, that's your luck. Anyway, they فَحَطَّوا رِحَالَهُمْ. They put their saddlebags one side, put their camels one side, come in. She milks the goat, they drink the milk. And then they ask her very politely, هَلْ مِنْ تَعَامٍ. Is there any food that you can extend to us? So she said, look, this is about all what I own. This is about all what I own. But like you indicated, you're on your way to Hajj. This is my opportunity. Let me see to you. I will prepare the firewood. You slaughter the goat. We roast it. And then what Allah has ordained for you, you will eat. Conscious that this basically brings it to nothing in the house. When we say there's nothing to eat, nothing that I am craving for, nothing that I'm wanting to eat. Otherwise the fridge is full. There is a narration in Hayatul Sahaba. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam walks into the orchard of one Sahabi, picks up a date and then he eats. Ibn Umar is what? So he says, Ibn Umar, why don't you eat? He said, La ashtahi ya Rasulullah. Oh Prophet of Allah, at this moment I don't have any desire or inclination. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sighed and he said, Ibn Umar, so for you it's a matter of inclination or disinclination, like or dislike. Here you're talking of 4 days and nothing has entered the belly of your Nabi. Here you're talking, read Hayatul Sahaba, the narration is there. 4 days, nothing edible has entered the belly of your Nabi. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, مَا لَكَ يَبْنَ عُمَرْ إِذَا بَقِيتَ فِي قَوْمٍ يَخْبِئُونَ رِزْقَ سَنَتِهِمْ. Ibn Umar, I can see an era coming where one follower will stock the provisions of an entire year and his trust in Allah will weaken by the minute. I often say, and I hope I can one day put it together, just to renew your faith, it's sometimes wonderful just to put together the prophecies of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he spelled out 14 centuries ago. Today we are the living statistics of his prophecies. That you look at this, and again, it just adds to the conviction that, oh my Nabi, you are that Prophet of Allah, and your words are spot on. You spelt it, you unpacked it, you dissect it, and you open it up completely in detail. Anyway, the goat is roasted. They eat. When it was after the sun had declined from the zenith and it was somehow cool, they acknowledge the woman and they thank her and they say, Ya hadhihi nahnu nafarum min Quraysh, O sister. Now, look at this woman. She didn't know them from a bar of soap. She had no agreement in place. She had no hope that this will return any benefit. If you look under this ayah in Surah Rum, وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِّبًا لِّيَرْبُوَ فِي أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ فَلَا يَرْبُو عِندَ اللَّهِ. This ayah has been explored by the commentators on two fronts. A, that those people who give a gift to other people on their occasions with the hope when it's my occasion they'll give me a better gift. Allah said these people, even if they receive better gifts, they won't see barakat in those gifts. So I'm giving today, his daughter is getting married, but I got sons, I got children, I give according to my profile, he'll give according to his profile. Allah says this, that the site has been explored on two fronts. The other one is the common, the dimension of interest and usury. But this also has been supported by great mufassirin. Where you give in, so that I give today, he'll give on my occasion. No, that's not why I give. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِي لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِي وَلَكِنَّ الْوَاصِلُ الَّذِي إِذَا قُطِعَتْ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَهَا. If someone is kind to you and you are kind to him, then that's a brilliant act. But you haven't done justice to the obligation of joining ties. Look at the hadith. Someone is kind to you, you are kind to him. That's wonderful, that's meritorious, that's noble. Support it and continue it. But that hasn't done justice to the act of, or the obligation of kindness to your relatives. What is then the demand and the obligation of kindness to your relatives? وَلَكِنَّ الْوَاصِلْ الَّذِي إِذَا قُطِعَتْ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَهَا. Kindness to your obligation to your relatives is when they severe it, they abandon you. Now you take the bold step. You take the bigger step. You are greater than the problem. You can humble yourself. You enjoy the reward of now joining ties. They tell her sister, نَحْنُ نَفَرٌ مِّن قُرَيْشِ. We are from the Quraysh. فَإِذَا رَجَعْنَا سَالِمِينَ. When we return, فَأَلِمِّي بِنَا. Then one day come pay us a visit in Medina. فَإِنَّا صَانِعُونَ بِكِ خَيْرًا إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ. We would love to reimburse you and compensate you and acknowledge you and give you some degree of remuneration for your hospitality and your kindness. And she said, if time promises and things happen, at that time we'll see what Allah has decided. Saying this, they excuse themselves and they return. Subhanallah. The husband returns. And he comes home. There's absolutely no food. There isn't milk. There isn't a goat. There's nothing. Obviously in a fit of rage and anger, like any person. So he says, تَذْبَحِينَ شَاتَنَا لِقَوْمٍ لَا نَعْرِفُهُمْ ثُمَّ تَقُولِينَ نَفَرٌ مِّن قُرَيْشِ. You very boldly go and slaughter the only goat that we have, give the milk away, and then you want to appease me to say, no, they're noble people from the Quraysh tribe, don't worry, we'll see good. I mean, this is not on. Anyway, things became quite challenging, quite daunting. Economically, they were going through a really rough period in their life, and a very, very turbulent period in their life, to the extent that the couple became compelled to start picking up the droppings of animals and cow dung to make a survivor. And in this way, husband and wife, elderly age, they made their way, it's mentioned in many kitabs, they make their way into Medina Munawwara. Time has passed on. يَلْتَقِتَانِ الْبَعْرَ. Picking up the droppings. وَالْحَسَنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ جَالِسٌ عَلَىٰ بَابِهِ. And Hassan radiallahu anhu is sitting outside his door at that day. فَنَظَرَ إِلَيْهَا فَعَرَفَهَا. He looks at the sister, he recognizes her. And he says, sister, with respect, يَا أَمَتَ اللَّهِ أَتَعْرِفِينَنِي. Do you know me? So she says, no brother, no son, I really don't know you from anywhere. He said, أَنَا أَحَدُ ذُيُوفِكِ يَوْمَ كَذَا سَنَةَ كَذَا فِي مَكَانِ كَذَا. I was one of your guests on a particular day at a particular location. We were traveling on Hajj, we had a crisis, we came. You offered us a great meal. She says, you know what? I really cannot recall in any way. Hasan radiallahu anhu said, anyway, I haven't made a mistake and I consciously know it is you. I know it is you. Now before I tell you how Hasan rewarded her, I'm just going to share with you another advice. What happened to this woman? She gave away the only food that she had. For me, that will be an indelible impression in my life. Maybe it will be imprinted in the memories of my children also. This woman did this act, gave it, closed the chapter, and forgot about it. Luqman Hakim told his son, oh my son, I'm begging you, learn to forget two things. Two things I'm exhorting you forget. إِحْسَانُكَ إِلَى النَّاسِ وَإِسَاءَتُهُمْ إِلَيْكَ. Oh my son, two things I want you to omit from your memory. The good that you've done to people and the bad that people have done to you. My brother, if you take nothing from my get together here today, but you walk away with this message, it's a wholesome message. It's a wholesome package. If you can only walk away with this, the good you did, close the chapter. And I have seen people like this in my life, Allah reward them. Who can do and forget? You know, in Ma'riful Quran, it is written, when Allah united Sayyidina Yusuf with his brothers, some narration 40 years, some narration 80 years. Now just follow my pattern of thoughts. I beg for your undivided attention. ورفع أبويه على العرش وخروا له سجدا وقال يا أبت هذا تأويل رؤياي من قبل قد جعلها ربي حقا وقد أحسن بي إذ أخرجني من السجن وجاء بكم من البدو من بعد أن نزغ الشيطان بيني وبين إخوتي. Amazing, mind boggling. Anyway, a long story short, the brothers get together. And it's a union, it's a reunion, family is together. They thought Yusuf was over. You can imagine the outburst of emotions. You can imagine the flow of joy, excitement, jubilation. So Yusuf alayhi salam says, you know, really Allah has been great. He's put us together after the devil has disunited us. Wa akhrajani min as-sijni. And Allah has been so kind that he released me from the jail and he brought me here and we are together today. The scholars say that when he highlighted the bounties of Allah, he highlighted the fact that he was freed from the jail. But he didn't say that Allah was very kind to me, Allah freed me from the well. While he was trapped in the jail as well as the well. And Allah freed him from both. And both these deliverance was a manifestation of the boon of Allah upon him. However, if he had to touch the topic or the word well, that was going to now ignite a fire. And that was going to start a bitter pill here. You're going down, nasty memories of your brothers dropping you. So he said, let's cut it from the root. I'm not going to even use the word well so that it doesn't make any negative insinuations or connotations to the crime perpetrated by my brothers. I don't know if the brothers are understanding my point. Allah freed me from the jail. Why don't you say Allah freed you from the well? Let's not use the word well. That's a contentious word in our vocabulary. The word well in our homes, it's a bad chapter. And in every home, there's some word like that. You know it, I know it. Why must I harp on it? Why must I play with it? Why must I sensationalize it? Why must I ignite it? Why am I stirring the fire? What did Yusuf say? He didn't touch the topic. So this woman forgot. Now those are two profound advisors of Luqman. Oh my son, somebody do you good. You do someone kindness. Do it and forget about it. Forget about it. Ironically, our good is little, yet we remember it. Our bad is so much, yet we forget it. I mean, that which is overwhelming and is in abundance is easier to remember. I have so much evil, but that I'll forget. But the little good that I did, that lives with me. The good you do, my son, forget about it. Why? Because la yadri qubilat am ruddat. You don't know if Allah has accepted it or rejected it. And if somebody is evil to you, forget it. Anyway, Hasan radiallahu anhu said, I remember you. He takes her home, he calls his slave. He says, you know what, this woman was good to me at a very volatile period of my life. We were on journey and I cannot forget her. Give her 1,000 goats. Give her 1,000 goats and give her 1,000 dinars. Brings 1,000 goats and 1,000 dinars. I mean, this is a woman who gave him, let's divide that goat into 3 segments and 3 pieces. How much could Hasan radiallahu anhu potentially eat? And this is how we cannot acknowledge our employees who have, we have taken their sweat, we have labored them, we've exploited them, we've used them. We cannot give them a pleasant surprise. And Hasan radiallahu anhu, can a person who gave her one, gave him one meal, this is his acknowledgement. Gives him 1,000 goats and 1,000 dinars. And then he said, do me a favor, tell the slave, take her to my brother Hussein. My brother Hussein was with also. So as she walks in by Hussein radiallahu anhu recognizes. Now if it was us, my brother gave you 1,000. Yeah, that's 500 from us. We're in partnership when it comes to charity. It's a joint venture, my brother. It's a family operation. No! That were not the words of Hussein. That's my brother's Jannat, this is my Jannat. Come out of this, my brother. When you're making money, it's yours and it's his. But when it comes to charity, it's a joint venture. Who are we fooling? How many times didn't we say, see how Allah gives and Allah takes? Look at the political landscape of the world. Such things have become realities on the political stage that were unheard of, that could have not been believed. And we've seen this thing turning, this wheel turning and rotating. Same way we've seen this wealth, empires crushing and falling, other nations rising and declining. What is minds? How long is minds? Hussein radiallahu anhu said, become wasalaha akhi al-Hasan. What my brother gave? Say, your brother gave 1,000 also. Said, okay, take 1,000 from me also. 2,000 dinars and 2,000 now goats. Then they send her to Abdullah ibn Ja'far. So when he come to Abdullah ibn Ja'far, he was known as Abu al-Masakin, the father of the poor. He had an amazing heart. He said, wallahi law bada'ti bi la'at'abduhuma. You know, sister, if you had to come here first, I would have set such a bar. Hassan and Hussein together wouldn't have able to match me. But I don't want to do it now, because now it will look like I'm just trying to up the bar. And it might give off a flavor of rivalry. So I don't want to create a competition atmosphere. But if you had to start off here, I would have set such a standard, it would have tired those after me. You know, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away, Umar radiallahu anhu looked at him and said one statement, لَقَدْ أَتْعَبْتَ مَنْ بَعْدَكَ. Abu Bakr, you've left behind big shoes, nobody can fill it. You've tired those that are to come after you till Qiyamah. Such a level you've left behind. Such a level you've set. Nobody can sit in your shoes. لَقَدْ أَتْعَبْتَ مَنْ بَعْدَكَ. So he doubles it and he gives it 2,000 dinars and he gives it 2,000 goats. فَعَادَتْ وَقَدْ أَخَذَتْ بِشَاتِهَا أَرْبَعَةَ آلَافْ شَاتْ وَأَرْبَعَةَ آلَافْ دِينَار. She comes back to her husband. Imagine your wife can give you back so much. She says, yeah, my hubby, in lieu of your one goat, Allah gave you 4,000 goats. And Allah gave you 4,000 dinars. That is why I say, every man inherently wants to make money. And if you say no, it's a lie, because the Quran says you love it. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. You know, we were sitting and talking, so this brother said, you know, me and my wife, we married for 15 years, we never argue. So I'm like, I think you don't stay together, my brother. Because if you tell me you don't argue, I don't envy you for a split second. Because my Nabi argued. So for me, important is to learn how to resolve the argument like how my Nabi did it. But not to argue, I'm not impressed. You don't impress me in the least, my Nabi argued. So I'm not saying not deliberately argue. What I'm saying, it's human to argue. What I got to deduce is the mechanism of my Nabi. The vision and the maturity, the integrity and the broadness, the calmness and the confidence, how he can resolve the most challenging of situations and nip it in the bud with a smile on his face and just take it with a breeze and move on and not get heated and, you know, emotional and blurt and threatened and physical and emotional and the rest of it. So, we don't know. What I'm saying, Islamically, these are the opportunities that Allah has given us. Our manner of making money is something that the marketing world cannot include in its books. Barakat. It goes against the grain of any advertisement in the world. What is it? What is barakat? Al-manafi'ul kathira bi asbabil qalila. Maximum benefit from minimum provision. This goes against the grain of logic. It contradicts logic and business studies on all fronts. There is a narration or an incident mentioned in Nafhatul Arab. There was a person who had an evil habit. He was living a very sinful and wicked life. So Friday nights he used to party and indulge and womanize and gamble. So one day he gave his slave 4 dirhams. He said, do me a favor, go buy some fruit. After we drink, we'll have some fruit and we'll sit and relax and enjoy the night. The night is young. So the slave takes the 4 dirhams. The slave, however, was a pious, religious, Allah conscious, devout Muslim. He takes the 4 dirhams and he walks, and as he's walking, he passes by the gathering of a very profound scholar, Mansur ibn Ammar, who was conducting the discourses of deen. And the scholar says, مَنْ دَفَعَ إِلَى الْغُلَامِ أَرْبَعَةَ دَرَاهِمِ دَعَوْتُ اللَّهَ لَهُ أَرْبَعَ دَعْوَاتِ. This is Nafatul Arab. Shaykhul Adab has mentioned it. Whoever will give this beggar 4 dirhams, He can request from me 4 du'as and I will make it for him. So he thought to himself, 4 dirhams, this is an ideal opportunity. You know, Allah gives it to you. This is where I got to capitalize. This is my moment. This is where I got to strike. This is my busy period. I say, my brother, your most busy period is where you can coin the du'as of your mother. That's your peak season. Because her du'as will secure prosperity, health and protection for your generations. That's the moment. Get that moment and you got it. So he makes the du'a and everyone says, Ameen. I must add on this note, in Ma'riful Quran, this is mentioned under this ayah in Surah Saba. وَمَا أَنفَقْتُم مِّن شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُهُ وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ Allah says, whatever you spend in his path, he will substitute it. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says, this is the foolishness of us that we anticipate monetary substitute and we interpret the substitute to be monetary. The Quran's proclamation and pronouncement and declaration is, you give, Allah will substitute. The Quran doesn't necessarily say monetary substitute. He says, it's our foolishness. Till I don't see money being returned, I say, I didn't get it back. Allah said, I will replace. O foolish human, I will give you what is better for you. Sometimes health might be better. Sometimes wealth might be better. Sometimes the hidayat of your children might be better. So you think I haven't replaced till you don't see your bank balance going up. Whereas I have cured your son and I have brought him on the path of hidayat from deviation. I have replaced many folds in greater folds. So anyway, he makes dua. People say, Ameen. What's your third request? أَن يَتُوبَ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَوْلَايَ My master is living a wicked life. Allah must change his life. It haunts me. It bothers me. It hurts me. It pains me to see my master. But obviously, I don't have the profile and I'm a basic, simple slave. So I can't muster the courage to engage him. But I hope that inshallah his eyes must open to reality and he must stop his wrong. One of my scholars used to say this and these words of his ring in my ears. He says, nobody is a fool in this world. Everybody is watching your actions. Some are noble and dignified, so they don't tell you. But they're also passing by, they're watching where your car is parked and what your moves are and how malicious and untowards and something is not looking right here. But the man is dignified, he says, he got his life, I got my life, and they move on. And the man and the domestic servant and the gardener that is cleaning the garden, he also has a brain and he can realize and put 2 and 2 together, something is not clear here. There's something that's not happening kosher and is not above board. But his desperation doesn't allow him to speak. So some are desperate and they don't speak, others are dignified so they don't speak. But make no mistake, everybody's watching. Everybody's watching. The man sweeping on the road also is watching your moves. And he understands everything. You think, oh, no, a man with a half a brain knows what's happening. But he's desperation, so he don't speak. His job is in jeopardy if he opens his mouth. The other man is dignified. Let him do his thing, I do my thing, and we carry on. Ya Allah, what was the incident I was mentioning? The Mansur ibn Ammar. Sometimes I'm trying to find out how many people are listening also. The third request was that Allah must give hidayat to my master. What's your fourth request? Allah must forgive me, forgive you, and all those that are present. You make the dua, said Ameen, and it's over. Nothing exchanged, a dua, and it's done. But he returns. But wallah, like I say, and I don't say this on theory, take dua from your parents. You will see every dua of this unfold in your life. In your life. Every dua that they made, it will unfold. You will see it materialize. You'll live up to see this and it will just stare at you. This is the dua of my mother. This is the dua of my parent. This is the dua of my ustad. You'll see it taking shape in your life. He comes back to his master. His master says, Lima abta'ata ya ghulam? What's the reason of the delay? He says that this is what happened. I went here and I heard this and I was tempted. I gave 4 dirhams and I was promised 4 du'as. I said, this is my chance. For a Muslim, excuse the phrase, that's your lottery. Tatama chance, tatama million. This is your tatama chance, my brother. What Allah is not a chance. You're a winner always. The only winners know when to stop or losers know when to stop. What Allah, you're only winning. You're only winning. He says, this is what transpired. So the master said, and what were the du'as you made? He said, number one, I must be honest, I made du'a that Allah must liberate me. He said, okay, then take it from me, anta hurrun liwajhi Allah, I've liberated you. He said, what's the second du'a you made? He said, I made du'a that Allah must give me back what I gave. He said, okay, laka arba'atu alaf, take 4,000 dirhams and go. He said, what's your third request? He said, I made du'a with respect to you, I don't wish to offend you, but that you must change your life. Man, as a slave, I'm not happy to see you living your life like this, my master. He said, tubtu ilallahi azza wa jal. I make you my witness, I have abandoned a life of sin. That's it, I've drawn the line. That is it in my life today. Let us pledge to Allah, today we draw the line. Say ameen, brothers. I have drawn the line. He said, what's the fourth request you made? He said, the fourth request was, يُغْفَرَ لِي وَلَكَ وَلِلْحَاضِرِينَ. Allah must forgive me, Allah must pardon you, and all those that were present in that gathering. So the master said, هَذِهِ الْوَاحِدَةُ لَيْسَتْ إِلَيَّ. This one, obviously, that's outside my jurisdiction. I did what I could do. Forgiveness, I cannot do it. فَلَمَّا نَام, he goes to sleep that night. رَآ فِي الْمَنَام, he sees in a dream. كَأَنَّ قَائِلًا يَقُولُ, it is told to him, أَنْتَ فَعَلْتَ مَا كَانَ إِلَيْكَ أَتَرَانِي لَا أَفْعَلُ مَا كَانَ إِلَيَّ. Allah tells him, very boldly you did what you had to do. You think I won't do what I have to do? You did your share. You liberated your slave. You empowered him. You repented. Now you think I'm going to chicken out? I'm going to back out? I'm going to step out? قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكَ وَلِلْغُلَامِ وَلِلْحَاضِرِينَ. Stand up from this dream, convinced that you are forgiven, your slave is pardoned, and all those that are sitting in that gathering are equally forgiven. I'm saying you don't know which dirham brings what in your life. This is the one that brings you khair. This is the one that brings you good. Today we go out to have some recreation for an outing. We spend hundreds of rands. The meal is miserable. The atmosphere is not conducive. We're supposed to bond together on a Saturday night with an outing. We come back swearing, upset, angry, wallet is dry, pockets are dry, moods are flying, mood swings and what? No barakat. And Sahaba ate at home and Allah put unity. Abu Talha Ansari and his wife, the visitor came, they lull the children off to sleep. And then they acting like they eating. I mean, we know if the domestic doesn't come, how the moods are at home. It's tense. You can just feel everything is like on edge. It's just like everything is, one word answers. And sometimes I think, how childish can adults be? Tell your mother I don't want to eat. Yeah, tell your father you must leave. Are we communicating via a child? Can we grow up? Can we mature? I mean, like someone said, the bigger the mansion, the more the tension. Wallah, that's what we are living like. The bigger the mansion, wallah, the more the tension. Another incident of Hassan radiallahu anhu. He was walking one day. So he sees a slave. And he's eating a mussel. And he's feeding a dog a mussel. Hassan radiallahu anhu was captured by this. He was just riveted. He was just blown away. Amazing. And he sat and he observed this. Now there are so many people in life that are great. Can we take out the minute to acknowledge them, empower them? And look at what it brings back to you. This man in his humble way, a slave eating and feeding. So, ila an shatarahu al-raghif. He had a slice of bread. He cuts it in half. He gives half to the beggar. He eats half himself and he gives half to the dog. So Hassan radiallahu anhu was just impressed that today humans cannot give another human food properly. The other day I read an article, now recently I was flying to Canada and in the plane I read this article in some remote villages of Pakistan, but I guess it's not exclusive there. The article was about that place, but it could be happening on a much more broader scale. Many people as a result of abject poverty are resorting to the selling of their organs to make money to put a plate of food on the table. Allah be my witness, he gave me a shiver. And this particular person concerned in the article, it was exploited, his soul, his kidney, the operation was not conducted adequately, the money promise was not given, now he has medical backlash, his health is not stable, the proper amount was not given. I said, because we have forgotten the principle of zakat and the principle of mutual sympathy. The system of capitalism breeds individualism. And individualism is that I must grow, I must mature, I must evolve, I am an individual. Islam believes in the system of mutual growing. Because if I try to grow independently, rest assured the hurt of the man across the road will set back my growth. If nothing else, his sigh across, his sigh and his pain, to see my palatial palace and his shack, that sigh will hurt him, and that sigh will hurt my prosperity. So Hassan radiallahu anhu sits at a distance and he observes this. He mustered the courage and he approaches the boy and he says, "What made you do what you did?" He said, "Istahat aynaya min aynayhi an ughabinahu." While I was eating, I seen hunger in this animal. And my human emotions didn't allow me to look this animal in his eyes. I couldn't look at this animal in its eyes. I'm eating a mussel here, and here is a hungry creature. I was just moved to tears. I couldn't look this animal in his eyes. So I said, "Let me sit down and do this here." So Hassan radiallahu anhu said, "I was very intrigued. I got chatting with the boy. I asked him, "Ghulamu man ant? Whose slave are you?" He said, "Abban ibn Uthman. I am the slave of Abban ibn Uthman." He said, "Well, Ha'it, and this orchard, who does it belong to?" He said, "It belongs to my master." So Hassan radiallahu anhu said, "I told him, aqsamtu alayk la barihta hatta a'ud. I swear by Allah, don't move till I come." He leaves him there. Hassan radiallahu anhu goes. Look at the generosity in him. So Allah gave him so much. He goes to the master. He says, "Are you the master of so-and-so?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Are you interested in selling your slave?" "Yeah, if you give me the right price, who's not ready?" "Say, what's the right price?" "X amount." "Say, okay, here's the money. And that orchard, you want to make a deal? X amount. Here's the money and it's done." Finalize the deal. The money exchanges hands. He comes back. He says, "Ya ghulam qad ishtaraytuk. Oh slave, I have purchased you." He said, "As-sam'u wa ta'atu lillahi wa lirrasulihi thumma laka ya maulaya." "Listen, oh my master, obedience to Allah, compliance to his Nabi, and then to you, oh my master." He says, "I have purchased you and now you belong to me." He says, "That's fine. You give the command and I'm at your disposal." He said, "Anta hurrun liwajhillah. I've only purchased you to liberate you. Nothing else. Go." He's ecstatic. He's elated. He said, "But that's not all. Wal ha'itu hibatum minni ilayk. The orchard is also a gift from me to you. You are liberated and that orchard is also a gift. Wa anil bahri hadith wala haraj." In Arabic they say that you can speak about the ocean and you won't tire. So vast was his element and his kindness and the nature of generosity. Just to wrap up the life of Hassan radiallahu anhu, Ali radiallahu anhu had multiple spouses and hence he had multiple children. You know, on another note, his brother Muhammad ibn Hanafiyya. Muhammad ibn Hanafiyya was one of the sons of Ali, born to him from one of his other wives, Hanafiyya. That was the name of his wife, and hence the boy's lineage goes to his mother to create a distinction between Hassan and Hussein and Muhammad. Both the children, or all the children of Hassan, Ali radiallahu anhu, sharing a common father and a different mother. So anyway, one day there was an altercation between the brothers. There was an altercation between Hussein radiallahu anhu and Muhammad ibn Hanafiyya. And Muhammad ibn Hanafiyya wanted to patch it up. And this is a sad reality, that, you know, brothers are so bitter and it's so unpleasant and there's this bickering and there's this, you know, I often say this, and I said, how false we are. We tell the children, you know what, grow up to be united. And yet our example is the direct opposite. We tell our children, I want you to grow up and after I'm gone, please live as a family, united. But yet when they see how close my father is to his uncles and that, they're getting the wrong message from the top and I'm advocating the same. So I contradict myself, my sentiments by my actions. Anyway, Muhammad ibn Hanafiyya wrote to his brother a brilliant right. One brother to a brother after there was an argument and the need to patch up, to mature, to grow up. So he writes. Min Muhammad ibn Hanafiyya ila Hussein ibn Ali. Min Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib ila Hussein ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. From Muhammad, the son of Ali radiallahu anhu, to my brother Hussein, also the son of Ali radiallahu anhu. Amma ba'd. After praising Allah. فَإِنَّ لَكَ شَرَفًا لَا أَبْلُغُهُ وَفَضْلًا لَا أُدْرِكُهُ. You have certain praises and privileges which I will never achieve, and certain honors that I will never accomplish. أَبُونَا عَلِيٌّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ لَا أُفَضِّلُكَ فِيهِ وَلَا تُفَضِّلُنِي فِيهِ. We share a common father, and that is Ali. When it comes to our father, I am not superior to you and you are not superior to me. We both boast and pride ourselves that our father is Ali radiallahu anhu. But then I must be bold enough to admit your mother is Fatima radiallahu anha. لو كانت الدنيا مثل نساء أمي ما وافينا بأمك. Fill the whole world with women like my mother, I'll be honest, it can't come close to your mother. I mean, when I read this, I said, this is a brother. That when Allah has given preference to one brother over the other, when the brothers of Yusuf came back to Yusuf, they admitted, they were not jealous in the end. قالوا تالله لقد آثرك الله علينا لقد آثرك الله علينا. Listen, my brother, we must say to you, from all the siblings, Allah took you the furthest. And we're happy for you. We're proud that you've climbed the ladder the most, fame-wise, political-wise, money-wise, social-wise, children, all regards, you've climbed the ladder the best. And as a family and as siblings, we share your joy and we're happy about your joy. That is the nature. Instead of harboring jealousy, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu said, there is a hope to put an end to all enmity, but the enmity that stems from jealousy. You can terminate every form of antagonistic relation, but the antagonism that stems from jealousy. كُلُّ عَدَاوَةٍ تُرُجَى إِزَالَتُهَا إِلَّا عَدَاوَةُ مَنْ عَادَاكَ مِنْ حَسَدِي. So anyway, he says, when you receive my letter, please come and patch up. I want to make friends with you, O my brother. And I'm writing to you so that you can hasten and we unite before our eyes close. When Hussein radiallahu anhu received this, he teared and he said, indeed, my brother has brought tears to my eyes. He musters the courage and he goes and he patches up with his brother. When Hassan radiallahu anhu passed away, Muhammad ibn Hanafiyya, this very brother of the son of Ali radiallahu anhu from one of his other spouses and partners, he sang few couplets at the grave of Hassan in the memory of his brother Hassan radiallahu anhu. He said, أَأَدَّهِنُ رَأْسِي أَمْ تُطَيَّبَ مَجَالِسِي وَخَدُّكَ مَعْفُورٌ وَأَنْتَ سَلِيبُ أَأَشْرَبُ مَاءَ الْمُزْنِ مِنْ غَيْرِ مَائِهِ وَقَدْ ضَمِنَ الْأَحْشَاءُ مِنْكَ لَهِيبُ سَأُبْكِيكَ مَا نَاحَتْ حَمَامَةُ أَيْكَ وَمَخْضَرَّ فِي رُوحِ الْحِجَازِ قَضِيبُ غَرِيبٌ وَأَكْنَافُ الْحِجَازِ تَحُوتُهُ أَلَا كُلُّ مَنْ تَحْتَ التُّرَابِ غَرِيبُ. He said, oh my brother, أَأَدَّهِنُ رَأْسِي أَمْ تُطَيَّبَ مَجَالِسِي. Must I sit and adorn myself and enjoy the luxuries of the grave, the luxuries of this world? وَخَدُّكَ مَعْفُورٌ وَأَنْتَ سَلِيبُ. When your cheek has been lowered into the grave. أَأَشْرَبُ مَاءَ الْمُزْنِ مِنْ غَيْرِ مَائِهِ وَقَدْ ضَمِنَ الْأَحْشَاءُ مِنْكَ لَهِيبُ. Can I still sit and cherish the luxuries of this world when you've been wrapped up in the coffin of Akhirah? سَأُبْكِيكَ مَا نَامَتْ حَمَامَةُ أَيْكَ. You've left behind such a profound legacy that as long as the birds will chirp and the winds will blow and the sun will rise, your memories will haunt me. سَأُبْكِيكَ مَا غَنَّتْ حَمَامَةُ أَيْكَ وَمَخْضَرَّ فِي رُوحِ الْحِجَازِ قَضِيبُ غَرِيبٌ وَأَكْنَافُ الْحِجَازِ تَحُوتُهُ أَلَا كُلُّ مَنْ تَحْتَ التُّرَابِ غَرِيبُ. He said, every person that is lowered beneath the grave, every person that is lowered beneath this land and is lowered into his grave is a strange person, even if he's buried in his own land. Even if he's buried there, he's strange and he's foreign there. And that is the nature of death. I read another article and I'm going to wrap up on this note. Today, if we look at the element and the aspect of preparation of death, we've prepared for death from every possible angle other than the angle from which we're supposed to prepare. So in a company, in the event of a sudden death, we have contingency plans. Contingency plans that if any member dies tragically, there is a backup system in place. There is what pay towards your funeral expenses. Every other dimension and angle related to death has been thought about other than the most vital part of it, and that is accountability before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An-nasu niyamun idha ma tuntabahu. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, people are asleep, when they die they will stand up. We make dua to the Almighty Allah that we can imbibe in our life the profound legacy of Hassan radiallahu anhu. Such a great legacy he left behind. All the things, just to sum up, the manner in which he restored peace to the ummah. Let us become the means of uniting people and not the means of dividing people. The manner in which he came, at the cost of compromising his own position, his profound generosity, the bonding with his family, taking care of the general people, helping one and all, and by virtue of this, the great legacy that he left behind and the rich legacy that he left behind. And obviously the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Hassan and Hussein will be the leaders of the youth of Jannah. One day Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma seen an elderly person and he was not performing wudu correctly. So they went to him. Look at when the youth had respect. And they said, "Uncle, we beg of your skills and we ask of your time. I'm a young child and I don't know how to perform the ablution. Would you spare me some time and advise me if my wudu is correct?" And then they started performing the wudu. And then he obviously consciously performed that particular aspect adequately, which the respected uncle was falling short in. The old man, like we say, the hair doesn't become white in the sun. It comes with experience. He picked up the hint, understood the message. He hugged Hassan and Hussein. He said, "It can only be the grandchildren of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to have such diplomacy and wisdom that taught me without offending me." I mean, if that is the level of respect they displayed to a strange old man, today you see the youth of today when engaging with their parents, and perhaps they're going to brief them on some usage of technology or some device, which they might be above the old man. The arrogance, the abruptness, the hostility, the pride, how they come across. Wal'iyadu billah. This man said, "It can only be the grandchildren of Hassan." May Allah create in our midst such youth who stand up, restore our glory, unite this ummah, and once again make us proud and make us regain the legacy that Allah has given us. I would like to extend my gratitude to Brother Nazir in particular and to the entire community for hosting me. He's been asking me for a long time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our get together a source of blessings, barakah. Let us leave from here in a manner that we take the words of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, that a day mustn't lapse in my life without my good coming increasing and without me coming closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Wassalatu Wassalamu ala Ashrafil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen, Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanah wa fil akhirati hasanah wa qina adhab an-nar. اللهم اجعل اجتماعنا هذا اجتماعا مرحوما وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ولا منا ولا معنا شقيا ولا محروما. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان. اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم اهدي شباب المسلمين واجعلهم هداة مهتدين لا ضالين ولا مضلين. اللهم اهدي نساء المسلمين. اللهم ارزقهن الحياء والعفاف والإيمان. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا رب.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.